Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, everybody. What a week. What a week to be here. Thank you, Jim Rome. Thank you, everybody here, for letting us fill in. We are the Sklar Brothers. I'm Randy. He's Jason.
That's correct.
And we've got great takes. We're going to be here today. We'll be back with you after Christmas on Boxing Day on the 26th, and then we'll be there on the 27th.
Happy Hanukkah to those who are lighting the lights. Our Hanukkah was lit last night, folks.
Straight fire.
Fire festival.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a fire festival because you expected it to be one thing, and then it was something different.
You don't know what I had to do to get water in that house.
Ugh.
Here's the deal. We have a lot to talk about, believe it or not. Like, people thought this might be a lax sports week. A lot of things are happening. T.O. left out of the top 100, out of the receivers, NFL players of all time.
T.O. suing his storage unit.
We could do a whole show on T.O.
He's suing the storage company, but to me, it's also the type of thing that T.O. would do, sue his own storage unit.
We're going to talk about Isaiah Thomas in a minute, about him hopping up into the stands.
The IT department is bumping.
Do you think the other Isaiah Thomas, who has had his own problems, was like, hey, that's not me.
Not me. Like, he had to put out some tweets going,
I didn't touch her. Him?
He recycled all of his old tweets. I didn't touch anybody. By the way, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience.
We're going to talk about Ezekiel Elliott's weird dad and his serval cat situation.
It's like you understand what his dad is doing, and then you start to understand.
Get a little perspective on him. Here's a window into that.
That's right. Why he does the things that he does.
And what they're up against after losing to the Eagles last night, 17-9.
And then their charter plane not viable to fly home.
Jerry Jones.
What's going on, Jerry?
On a pontoon boat with his
wife, Jeannie. Maybe don't spend $16 million
on your Hall of Fame celebration
party. You know what I mean?
Spend it on getting some players.
Or a backup plane, maybe. Or a coach. Look, he can still win that division at 7-9, right?
Yeah, I think so. We may get to Johnny Manziel at the Heisman Trophy ceremony and what his relevance has
Why
been.
We think the Heisman committee wants him there. We'll get into that. Adam Hawk, Alvin DeLauro here in L.A. with us. Tom DeCelestino in New York.
Dave Whalen.
We got great guests on the show today. Hour one in the next segment. Will Brinson, fantastic NBA dude.
And has there CBS ever Sports. Been a better time to watch the NBA?
I think the NBA this year is the most fun because the last several years, and we'll talk about it with Will, the last several years, you knew who was going to win. And the only reason that, in my opinion, that the Golden State Warriors...
He's an NFL insider, by the way.
I'm sorry, NFL Brinson. Insider. Sorry. But we'll
there
talk.
You go.
But I'll talk NBA with him.
We'll force
him. Thank you.
Tesh. Sorry, we mixed that up, but that's all right. We'll talk NBA, too, because I do want to talk about the fact that the NBA is...
Matt Weiner's coming up, and we'll talk NBA with him.
Matt Weiner will be talking NBA.
But the NFL is crazy this year, too. Fantastic.
Yeah, this is the perhaps changing of the guard. The changing of the guard from Tom Brady to Lamar Jackson. Passing of the torch.
Lamar Jackson is the most fun player to watch in years.
Let's only talk NBA with Will Brinson.
I'm only going to talk NBA with Will Brinson. I'm only going to be talking golf with Matt Weiner.
We're going to have Brian Kenny on the show in the final hour to talk about the insanity that was Jacobs, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
That fight, the quit.
The quit. You want to continue? Nope.
Nope. I'm good. I'm good. Out. I'm done.
I'm out.
Do you want to continue? I'm good.
He basically said to the referee, I've made a terrible mistake.
And then there
what am I doing here?
The shot of Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. with his head in his
sitting
hands,
alone, being like what have I done?
Who have I raised?
Who is this guy?
I mean, just that shot was maybe harder to watch.
That's the moment where you're like, I wish my dad wasn't a great boxer. I wish he was a plumber.
Or something where I didn't have to...
And he's like, why did I name my son after me?
Even if his son was a plumber, even if his dad was a plumber, I think saying, I'm done, I quit, that would be hung on that dude for a long time.
I'm out. Conor, if you're out there, we've missed you these several times.
It's Conor, C-O-N-N-O-R.
You were in South Cal. We want you here.
South Cal?
So we're going to talk We're going to talk NBA with Will Brinson. We're going to talk golf with Matt Weiner. We're going to talk hockey with Robert Lucidich. And
darts, we'll talk Star Wars with Brian Kenny.
Darts with Brian Kenny. I did see Star Wars last night, and I will tell you, and I will later give you my take as to the haters of Star Wars.
Roll up out of here.
Do you want my take?
Get out.
We do want
take. I do want your take. 800-636-8686. Connor, call in. Anyone else call in?
No, Connor.
We want you.
You can tweet, or you can email at rome@haveatake.com. We'll read your emails on the air. Funniest ones, of course. Those are our favorites.
Tweet us at Sklar Brothers.
Should we jump into something?
Let's talk about this Isaiah Thomas thing, because it just came down the pike that he's getting two games suspension. The two fans that he confronted, they're banned, I guess.
We're going to talk fishing with Will Brinson.
Stop. Here's the deal. They're saying those players are banned. How are you going to ban two guys?
Oh, the guys who started it? Yeah, this I never understand. We're going to ban them from the arena. Like, they can't go all Bobby Valentine and just put a disguise on and a fake mustache and walk in. Like, who? You're putting a lot on the people who take
on
tickets.
On, like, ticket takers.
To
is that a meeting that they have to have now with everyone and be like, look at this guy?
I have never once made eye contact with the person that's taken my ticket. Like, they don't even look at me. They're looking at the ticket. They're scanning it and going. So, no, these guys probably can't go and sit in their regular seats if they are season ticket holders. But they will be able to go.
Yeah, it's a hollow punishment.
So explain what happened.
All right, so Isaiah Thomas is shooting free throws. He's for the Wizards against the 76ers. This happened, of course, in Philly. End of the game. And he makes one out of two. Now, there's a promotion where if opposing team...
He actually missed the first and made the second.
Which is almost worse, right? Of course, that's why. Because they're rooting for him to miss two in a row. If they miss two in a row, there's a promotion with the 76ers.
And Wendy's.
Wendy's, that the guys, everyone at the arena
you get
with the ticket...
a free Frosty.
A 99-cent Frosty.
Weirdest promotion I've ever seen. Could that be like... That's like if the...
Banking on you to fail.
If a pitcher balks, you get a free Coke from Burger King. Like, I don't even understand that promotion. And it's such a weird in-game promotion.
So this guy flips Thomas the double bird as he's going up the court, calls him a B-word, and he goes up into the crowd. Timeout called. He goes up into the crowd, confronts the guy, and starts talking to him.
Really talks to him and says, like, I'm a man. I'm a man
be
first.
Be a fan. This is what he said. He said,
Be
a fan. I don't need you to disrespect me like that. Be a fan.
By the way, I'm sure there are Philadelphia 76ers who would go up into the crowd, in their own crowd, and say, shut up. And these are Philly fans.
Hey. Tell them to... The guy was like, why don't you go down to the Wawa on 5th and Locust and grab yourself water ice?
Go grab a water ice.
Daryl Hall and John Oates are my favorite.
Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's what they're thinking, and that's their shouting. Look, I would say to Thomas, you're lucky he didn't throw batteries at you.
That's right.
But so this is the confrontation, and the guy immediately cops to it, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Fan who's wearing the sleeveless Ben Simmons shirt, which this gets into something we've talked about.
The dude who shows up to an NBA game with just the jersey on, nothing underneath, to me is basically signaling to everyone that,
look, if everyone fouls out and you need me, I'm coming down.
Just look up in the stand. I've already got the jersey on.
I work out, but just my upper body.
That's right.
Put me in.
Put me in. I could give you 10 minutes in the third quarter.
I can give you two rebounds in 11 minutes.
In my jeans.
So that's what this guy's saying by coming up, by showing up. And look, my thing is this. If you have the money to buy an NBA ticket.
You have enough money to buy a Frosty at Wendy's.
Isn't that the thing, though?
Why do you get mad at Isaiah Thomas? Isaiah Thomas, not Dave Thomas of Wendy's.
He can't control this. This is the same mentality that happens when they take out the T-shirt gun. When they fire a T-shirt gun out into the crowd, you see grown-ass men fighting
knocking
off
over
kids
for
to
a,
grab that t-shirt that won't fit
and that they'll never wear.
And by it's like way, Hanes. It's like the thickest, worst, least comfortable shirt you've ever had.
And did you hear?
And it says Mountain Dew and like seven other promotions on the back.
Did you hear Isaiah Thomas after the game? Listen to Isaiah.
I'm never going to be disrespected in any way.
My dad taught me at a young age, don't ever let anybody call you out of your name. And it doesn't matter where I am, that's not going to happen. So I go in the stands to confront him. I say, don't be disrespectful.
That's right.
That calm. Be a man. I'm a man before anything. And be a fan.
Be a fan.
And his response was, I'm sorry, I just wanted a Frosty.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just wanted a Frosty is the weakest comeback to a guy saying, just be a man. Like, to say to someone, just be a fan.
I'm sorry, I just want my kid's dessert. That's essentially what you're saying.
By the way, I 100% support.
He said be a man, and you're already not being a man in that instance.
I think he said be a fan. But be a man is what he's essentially saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Be a grown-up. And the guy's like, I am being a grown-up. Now give me my Frosty. But here's the thing.
IT was calm, by the way.
He was calm, but you know what? I would have supported if he flew off the handle. I support this. This is an old attitude, Randy and I. We've talked about this before. Fans, just because you buy money to the game doesn't mean you get to shout stuff at people. It's not like you're, you know, shouting a different language that they can't understand.
Like, you can cross a line. Yes, you can go. You can boo another guy. You can try and get him to miss the free throws, but there's a line you can cross, and don't do it. And if you do
I say face the consequences. We've said this before. It's like the woman who climbs into the lion's
enclosure
at the zoo and is like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. You know what?
You gonna get bit.
And you deserve it.
You deserve it.
And I will stand back and tell security, why don't you take a break?
You guys need a break? Go, she's got this right here.
Go get an iced coffee from the zoo commissary. Let's see how this plays itself out. That's what I think should happen to a couple fans.
Go get a Frosty. I think Kemba Walker missed two free throws last night. Go get a Frosty on the 76ers.
Relax. Relax. You're at a game. You have a choice in this life. Okay, I'm not going to get all philosophical, but
you should.
Let's get a little Ram Dass up in this piece, all right? That's a guy, a philosopher, a Harvard professor turned philosopher, and you know, he was a guy who studied in India. He died this past weekend. He was a wonderful person. You have a choice in this world. Mm-hmm. You can be a light. You can be good in this universe. You can love yourself and promote love and push that out into the world, or you can be a jerk. What do you want to be? That's not saying don't root for your team. That's not saying don't get into a game. That's not saying don't be a fan. But cross the line.
And you get what, like the people who go for the running of the Bulls, you watch them and you're like, I'm now on the Bulls side.
Yeah.
Go gore the hell out of that guy.
I'm on the Bulls side like Scottie Pippen's uncle.
I'm on the Bulls side.
Which, by the way, I feel like with a little distance when you think about the name Scottie Pippen, that sounds like you're talking about a three-year-old.
Little Scotty.
Who's coming over for a play date today?
Little Scotty Pippen. Little Scotty Pippen's
is
coming
he,
over.
Is he?
He's 6'7".
Is he potty trained? I don't know.
He's Little Scotty Pippen.
Little Scotty Pippen brings his own little toilet wherever he goes.
Little Scotty Pippen is coming up. But I'm on.
But you understand, you start rooting for the Bulls because you say to yourself, these guys are provoking this. You poke the bear, you get bit. That's the facts. You don't. You're not entitled to that by spending money to go into the games. You're not entitled to that as a fan. Go to the game. Be as loud as you want. Distract people. Root for your team. Boo a guy. We don't care.
We're saying when our test went up into the crowd,
I was like, I support it.
I did not have. Problem
I didn't care
it.
That he hit the wrong guy.
You're standing next to the guy. You hit the guy who throws beer on him and say, "Don't do that." You can't do that.
Police each other. Shut up, man. You're ruining it for me.
So what I would say is literally, don't do what you would do if you weren't, like if you were out at a bar, would you say what you said to Isaiah Thomas?
No. If you did, you'd get jacked and everyone would be like, well, he had it coming.
He had it coming. He deserved it.
This guy was being a jerk. He had it coming.
So Isaiah misses two games. He just wanted Frosty. Isaiah Thomas misses two games. He misses a game against the Knicks, which doesn't really matter, right? Does that even count?
I don't know.
You miss a game with the Knicks, doesn't even matter, and then he misses some other game. He probably needs the rest. It's like load management. This is somewhat of load management.
Yeah, this is market correction, as we say.
NFL insider Will Brinson is coming up next.
We're going to talk all NBA.
I'm going to slide a little bit of NBA in there to talk to him because I'm sure he knows it. He's CBS Sports' Will Brinson. We are the Sklar Brothers.
We're off and running. Tweet at us at Sklar Brothers.
We're filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hot with a little fish, a little tweezer reprise on a Monday. The Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. I play that music because the gentleman we'll be talking to shortly is a huge, huge fish fan.
Yeah.
In addition to his extensive knowledge of the NBA. I'm joking.
Will Brinson. He is the NFL Jalen expert. Brunson of the NFL.
Rick Brunson's. You got a tweet, Jay?
Yes. From at, this is Val Trilmer.
Mm-hmm.
At David in Aliyev.
Mm-hmm.
More Philly fans going to the Wawa Clones.
Okay. Appreciate there you that. Go. Nice, Jay. All right, well.
Val Kilmer.
So we're going to be talking. The NFL is heating up right now in such a way that, to me, I'm so excited heading into the playoffs because you just don't know what's going to happen. And to break it all down for us, to help us out, is the great Will Brinson. Welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well, guys. A little under the weather with some preschool death flu, but I'm going to fight through. Thanks for having me. And what a dream come true to have somehow gotten fish played on.
Hey, man.
The jungle. Right?
Look, man. We saw fish in 1993 in St. Louis at the American Theater. Ow. So that's early days. That's some Susie Greenberg. That's some
97 or 98 was my first show back in Raleigh. My parents were none too pleased.
I'm sure the clones are really excited about us, like getting into deep
into the fish.
Maybe we can do an extensive.
Let's talk about the Littleton, Colorado show of 1990.
Let's talk about the concept album Gamehenge. All right, Will, we got to talk. I want to just make sense of what's happening, and I want you to just at a level tell me how upset is Minnesota and Seattle that they're not playing in a division with Dallas and Philly.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because the Vikings need a lot of help here to win the division. They have to win out, of course.
Yep.
The Packers tonight, they have to beat the Bears in week 17. And then the Vikings have to lose to the Lions. And since no one loses to the Lions, especially Aaron Rodgers, it seems very unlikely that Minnesota
you mean the
will
Packers,
win the division.
Yeah, yeah, the Packers have to lose to the Lions, which is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, basically, the Vikings are host here, and they would much prefer to be in the NFC East, where coaching is voluntary, or coaching is not voluntary. It's like it's maybe Jason Garrett will coach, and maybe he won't coach.
Yeah.
Maybe the plane will work, maybe the plane won't work.
There's
it's
less
a disaster
pressure.
Division, and I wouldn't be surprised if both the Eagles and Cowboys lost in Week 17. That would be the beautiful thing.
Yeah, I feel like someone is going to limp in, and how funny would it be if the Eagles then do win a playoff game? They're going to host something. It's just insane to me that at whatever record they're going to be at, 8-8, you know,
9-7,
that
maybe.
But I do believe that if you are looking at the teams, Seattle, certainly Seattle and San Francisco, the Saints, you got a lot of opportunities for, I don't know who's coming out of the NFC this year.
Yeah, I think it is probably the most difficult the conference has ever been to sort of hash out.
Yep.
I mean, they're an 11-win team.
Mm-hmm.
They're hosting the 49ers, and the winner gets the division and maybe a top 1, 2, 3, seed, depending on how things shake out. And yet, if Seattle loses, I don't think they'll be favored if they go to Philly for wild card weekend. They just lost Dwayne Brown for the season. They just lost Chris Carson for the season.
Yeah, wow.
They're floating the idea that they might sign Marshawn Lynch.
Come on.
What are we doing?
It's
not 2020.
Beast mode. Hey, man, if you need 1 yard at the goal line and you've got Marshawn Lynch, you just don't give it to him.
You play action and you throw it.
You play action and you throw it. That's what happens.
They're a house of cards, though. Like, if you look at their point differential, they're basically, they profile, according to the Pythagorean theorem, and win expectancy is like an 8.5 win team, and they're an 11 win team. I don't want to call them frauds because they have Russell Wilson and they're very good. Like, they have Pete Carroll, they have Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett. et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, like, they are not an 11-win team, and it's going to come toppling down at some point, and that might be this coming weekend or in the playoffs.
Are you saying that they're as much of an 11-win team as Buffalo is a 10-win team in the AFC?
Sort of. I mean, the Packers are even worse, I think. Oh, they're quite different. They're bad, too. They're sort of fraudulent as well. I buy into Buffalo because Sean McDermott just manages to, like, he takes this really old rotten lemon and squeezes it and somehow gets delicious lemonade out of it.
Yeah.
Well, you look up and the Chiefs are 11-4. Obviously, the Ravens are just off the hook this year.
13-2.
The Texans are good. I mean, again, it's driven by a dual threat quarterback. So, I mean, and then the Patriots. Let's talk about the Patriots. 12-3. You would think if you sort of looked at them this year and who they lost to and how they lost, this is a down year for them. And yet you can't, are we going to count them out?
No. I think they're good value to get to win it all. They're like 5-1 right now.
Okay.
They're going to beat the Dolphins in week 17. They're going to get the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have to win one game at home, either probably against the Chiefs,
right, who are
going to be the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
So to beat Kansas City and Andy Reid in the playoffs at home.
Which they've
and
done.
And then you have to go to Baltimore and beat the Ravens. I mean, both these teams they've already seen once this year. So Bill Belichick has tons of film, tons of experience. They can prep for him. They're starting to run the ball better. And Tom Brady just has to summon he has to just conjure up the old man ghost,
right,
or old man power and just rip through 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden he's in the Super Bowl and they got 2 weeks to prepare for Sean Payton or Mike Zimmer or whoever else is coming out of that side.
Not only do the Patriots have good film on these teams, they have great film on the sidelines of every team.
It's always good to have that sideline.
Is that okay? So that comes out. All our Patriots fans and people we know who support the Pats are like, come on, you're going back down this road. You're just trying. All teams do this. Or is this a pattern of behavior that we've seen with the Patriots? And is this worth getting into? From your perspective,
I think it was notable in that NFL 100 episode that Bill Belichick was on. He quoted Sun Tzu, the old Chinese warlord.
Art of War, yeah.
Yeah, Art of War, it says, if you know yourself but don't know your enemy, you will lose more battles than you win. And that's his go-to mantra.
Right.
That's Belichick's go-to mantra. And so I think he believes he should know the tendencies, know the personnel, know the formations, know everything about the teams he's playing. And so, yeah, I mean, like, it kind of fits with his approach towards football is know your enemy. And he wants to know his enemy. And what better way to know your enemy than by filming him illegally from the press box?
I believe it was Sun Tzu who also said, burn the tape. He said that famously in The Art of War.
Burn the tape, bro.
Sun Tzu, there was another line in there, too, where he's like, the Bengals, really?
Yeah, exactly. The Bengals, that's just.
Bengals almost tried to lose Joe Burrow. Did you see that? I mean, to me, that.
Incredible.
That was a moment where all of Cincinnati was like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
How dare you try at this moment? We've got him.
John Breach, my colleague, whose dad is actually a former Jim Breach, the old Bengals kicker from back in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Jim Breach. Jesus.
Yeah, Jim Breach is the man.
Mm-hmm.
Power stash back in the 70s.
So huge. John, Ken Anderson.
John, who Jim writes Breach at CBS,
yeah,
is a big Bengals fan, obviously. And
sure.
He called it the most glorious game in Bengals history because not only did they – Andy Dalton came back and like reminded everybody why they loved the Red Rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to overtime. And it was thrilling and crazy. But then they also lost and they saved the number one pick.
So they did what they had to do.
You showed the promise of what it would be. And by the way,
don't survive in advance is actually the attitude there.
It's the attitude they have. I mean, the other thing about the Patriots is they don't ever show you everything in the regular season. So there are these, they hold stuff back and then they just empty the playbook in the playoffs and beat you with things you've never seen on film before. Belichick is famous for that.
Yeah, like remember when he did when he had the split out lineman and was just destroying John Harbaugh with it. He definitely he knows that he's going to have something like that to beat the Ravens this year because Lamar Jackson is so good. But I think it's interesting. We saw a one series against the Browns yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, and Mark Ingram all got hurt.
That's
and
right.
Not that, like, they're going to fall apart all of a sudden, but they're peaking. And they've been peaking all season, so
right.
I think they're in great shape. But like, you're really going to beat Belichick twice, and you don't think he's going to have something? He's going to pull out of his little bag of coal and just bust out on you in the middle of January.
So
it just I would be nervous if I was the Ravens.
Well, that's and that is really what it comes down to. You say, does the talent of Lamar Jackson, is it enough to overcome the wisdom and game planning of Bill Belichick? And maybe it is. I've seen Lamar Jackson do stuff on the football field this year that you've never seen a quarterback do, ever. He gets to the edge so quickly. It's his burst is incredible, and he's throwing the ball really well.
You got to respect the throw.
I can't believe, what does he have, over 1,100 yards rushing? I cannot believe that this dude, he could have like 1,300 yards rushing in this season, which is just beyond my comprehension.
He and Ingram, because Ingram toppled 1,000 yards too. They're the first quarterback running back duo to do it since Vic and Ward Dunn. And yeah, I mean, like Lamar, what's crazy, what's so great about the Ravens is they built this ecosystem around Lamar Jackson. They got the tight ends. They got the speedy deep threat wide receivers in Marquise Brown. They got running backs who operate great out of shotgun.
That's right.
They have a coach who has the huevos to go for it on every fourth down he needs to.
Love
and
that.
So it's all designed to make Lamar Jackson great and to utilize his talents. And they haven't taken their foot off the gas. And that's it's incredible. And like that's what smart teams do. They build or they don't cater. They don't jam players into square pegs, right? They or square holes. You know, they build around their players. And
right.
They did that with Lamar, and that's why he's flourishing.
I agree with that. And I feel like another team on the other side of the coin are the San Francisco 49ers. It feels like they're doing kind of the same thing for Jimmy G. They're building a team around that guy. And look at the success they're having.
Yeah. Look, like, and you could also say the same thing about Kirk Cousins. Jimmy G thrives off of play action, being able to read and make these throws across the middle, George Kittle on the little outs and let Kittle do the yak stuff. You know, he's not standing back and dropping seven steps and chunking verticals to, you know, to his wide receivers. Like, Kyle Shanahan schemes guys open, and that's okay. You're building around Jimmy Garoppolo. Once
that's
he gets
right.
comfortable and he gets in the flow and his rhythm, like he's a rhythm passer,
yep.
he starts to get on a roll. And you see it early. Like, he'll get a little shaky if you pressure him, but then Kyle schemes up some play action stuff. Some easy throws across the middle.
Throw it to Kittle. Throw it to Kittle yeah. and get your confidence back up is yeah. really like, what it is.
You have Kittle fake like he's blocking, then you bootleg Jimmy G, and Kittle runs it out. You get it to Kittle, and all of a sudden they start cooking. And once they do that, they're hard to stop. And that run game, if it's rolling, is really, really good. And so, yeah, the 49ers, I think we're sort of sleeping on them for some reason. Maybe it's because they struggled against the Falcons late,
yep.
and then they played on Saturday, so they're sort of out of our minds.
Right.
I mean, if they beat the Seahawks, they're going to be the one seed.
They will be.
Come through San Francisco.
Which would be amazing, and to have that excitement back in San Francisco, I mean, that it just would be, since the Harbaugh days, which seemed like many,
yeah.
many moons ago. But, all right, thanks, my man. Dude, great stuff. Are you going to be live tweeting the live stream of the Fish shows over New Year's in Madison Square Garden? Are you going to be doing that?
I won't be up there, but I'll be live tweeting some Couch Tour, almost certainly.
Nice. I love it. And where people can find you on the Twitters, please follow you.
At Will Brinson.
At Will Brinson. And check out My Voice is Better on the podcast, Daily NFL Podcast, the Pick Six Podcast. You can check it out on Apple Podcasts.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Will Brinson, everybody. NFL Insider, let's throw it to a little sports update, a CBS Sports update with our friend.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, guys, we're back. We're loving this first hour. Call in, connect with us. It's time to ask the pros, or as we say,
ask the bros.
Where you, the clones and sklones, get to ask us questions, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show, and we may answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every day. What do you got for us,
Well, Matt? First of all, I want to thank Will Brinson. Fantastic takes. In hour two, we've got Matt Weiner going to talk NBA.
Or NFL.
Robert Lucidich at the bottom of that hour. And Brian Kenny at the end of the show. How great is that?
Talking about the crazy boxing match that happened this weekend.
And we'll talk baseball with him, too. I got an email here. Hey, Sklar's, not sure why the Cowboys didn't just take a write-off after that game last night. I did the pre-trip inspection, and everything seemed A-okay to me.
Signed,
John Denver.
Hank, come on.
Colorado. Matt in Poland Springs.
Hey, Sklar's, adults that show up to NBA games with just the jersey on is very classy. Regards, people that wash their hands with dish soap. Jeff and Lincoln.
Or wash their hair with dish soap.
Hey, I've been there.
Hey, your hair looks great. What is that? What are you using?
Palm olive.
No. Absolutely not.
All right, want to talk about this because, Rand, you saw it last night.
I went to Star Wars last night with my family. I finally saw Star Wars, and it was amazing. I'm just going to say, this is the thing I can't handle because I think this is like it relates to sports in such a big way. I can't handle the people that are hating on this movie. I mean, there might be things about it that you don't like, and if you are the biggest Star Wars nerd ever, okay?
If you have lost relationships over your relationship with Star Wars.
If you've heard this sentence in your life, it's the prequels or me, and you're still alone, then fine.
We know what your choice is.
You can get mad at it, but to me, this movie delivered in that we were. I went with my family. We were transported to another place and another time.
A galaxy far, far away.
It was a great experience. We laughed. We cried. We were happy. We were excited. You got scared in moments. There was enough Chewy for all of us. We were able to chew on enough of this thing.
There it is.
It was great. And it's what you realize is it is so difficult to sustain that franchise at the level that it's at. Okay?
Sometimes I just don't understand human behavior.
Right? Exactly. Oh, you're mad at something that didn't exist 45 years ago? Some guy just made it up, and now you're mad at what he's making up within a world he created?
Yeah.
You're mad at that?
To me, that's like being mad. Like if LeBron goes to the finals this year, you're mad at him because he makes it to the – if he doesn't win. You're like, it's a very difficult thing to do. There were how many, like 10, 11 Star Wars movies?
The Lakers before LeBron were starting Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, essentially. Okay?
And so now we're back. We're back in Rise of the Sky. We're back in actual episodes that we like again.
Yeah.
And look, here's my issue with Jar Jar Binks. A simple fix could have changed everything if they would have had him speak in gibberish and subtitled his words.
That's right.
You could have had that accent.
By the way, he is not, there's not lip flap there. This is a character. You're not watching. It's not like a character. It's not like Carrie Fisher delivered a bad performance.
If they went back in and re-edited.
That, to me.
Dubbed it in a different language, like nonsense space language.
And nonsense space language and just did subtitles. I think they could save Phantom Menace. You could save it if you just.
If you don't agree with us, call in and we'll tell you why you're wrong.
But I do think there is that expectation that it's got to be at a certain level. And if it doesn't hit that level.
Give him a phone number to call in and argue.
800-636-8686. Call us.
It isn't fair.
It isn't fair.
Do you know what I'm saying? That like there's the expectation that it's.
Look, here's the deal. And this will transition us perfect into our next take. You can't be mad at Star Wars. They hit a bullseye with the first three.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they land on the dartboard, you got to accept it.
You got to just say, okay. You got to say, okay, they hit the dartboard. At least this was a fun experience. At least I didn't have to talk to my family for 2.5 hours.
Boom.
Thank you, George Lucas. Thank you, Star Wars. But there are people who are like, I didn't like the circle wipe in this scenario. I didn't like the fact that, why'd you have to put the Ewoks in it? Enough. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy something.
Like, enjoy the fact that LeBron is taking you to the playoffs. Enjoy it.
Be a light in your life. Don't be darkness.
Enjoy the fact that he's taking you to the playoffs, and it doesn't matter that he's 2-7.
Impressive.
Okay, so let's get into darts. And we could probably keep the same music on, because something happened in the world of darts that... Yeah. It rocked our lives, all right?
And First of all, Jay and I watched darts on Cheap Seats, our old show on ESPN Classic.
And there, back in the 70s, there was a men's division and a women's division.
And I'm telling you, I could not tell the men from the women.
They all looked the same. They all looked like Pro Bowler Mark Roth. That's what everyone looked like.
Everybody looked like
Mark Roth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this woman, Fallon Sherrock, she just pulled off one of the rarest feats in all of sports.
Didn't Puffy promote her vodka?
Sherrock.
Mm-hmm. Fallon,
yeah,
Sherrock.
Yeah, I think so. She beat a male competitor in her adults championship. So they finally combined the men's and women's league, which they should have. And look, here we are in this moment. And I'm telling you right now, this is a big feat. This is a big deal.
Anytime like a Shirley Muldowney comes in and beats the men.
But here's the deal. Listen to the crowd go wild when she wins. Alvy, do we have the clip of the...
All he's got is a 60 bullseye.
Love it.
All he's got is a bullseye.
That's all he's got.
That's all he's got.
Listen to that crowd. Okay, now she steps up.
What is this? Listen to the crowd. Is this a Jacob Chavez Jr. match?
Six left for Fallon Sherrick.
So I let the woman. She missed it right there, but then she hits it.
Are you serious?
Fallon Sherrick smashes the glass ceiling.
Are you serious?
The World Star Championship. The first woman.
I'm going to tell you something.
More energy in that crowd than at all the Tampa Bay Rays games last season.
And the Rays made the playoffs. Like, there were more people at that darts ballroom than at a Tampa Bay Rays game.
By the way, this audio is not doctored. This is exactly how it happened. There are probably darts hooligans, like, ruining a town right now.
Just insane. Are you... This...
She did.
A woman stepped up to a line and did something that you and I can do in a bar, and that is the response that she got.
I want to tell you, I was so inspired by this. My daughter, who's five or turned six, got a dartboard for someone, and I'm like, come on, we're going to start practicing.
Let's go. I want to teach you to be a champion. Go beat the dudes. Go walk in there and take what's yours, honey.
And she did it, and they did it. They should start combining sexes in more sports. Scrabble,
This is Ray versus the Emperor. This is Ray versus Kylo Ren. That's exactly what you were doing, and the crowd goes wild.
Crowd went crazy.
I want the crowd to go that wild for anything that we do.
Game.
Are you serious?
Fallon Sherrick smashes
okay.
The glass ceiling.
Okay, here's... All right, I want you to compare that. I want to do a comparison, Albie. Okay, I'm sure you have sound on Jose Altuve hitting the home run to win that playoff game this year. You got to find that sound because, to me, the sound... There's a sound that the crowd makes when Altuve hits the home run.
Where they, like, can't believe that it's happening.
They can't believe it. It's just...
You can barely hear the guy hitting the trash can in the dugout.
You can barely hear them hitting, trying to get the... Tell them that it's a breaking ball coming.
He's looking for it. But, all right, so... But that energy in that crowd, that can only be followed by some dummy dude saying, I can beat this woman.
That's right. Some guy,
you know what's coming next.
You know what's coming next is a dummy saying, I can beat her.
All right, this is Jose Altuve off Chapman in ALCS Game 7.
Altuve!
Okay.
Just sent the Astros to the World Series!
All right, now go back and play us
go darts. Go back and play the darts, okay? Just go back and play the darts.
This is insane. I just love the fact that it's like the same level of intensity right? Coming from these people.
So you heard Altuve just walked off.
Well, even Joe Buck got crazy and up. He got nuts.
That's crazy.
36 left for Fallon Sherrick.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's close.
It's the same thing. So, of course, so then... Just trying to put it into context. So, like, nobody – now, Altuve, this is somewhat similar because Altuve is, I believe
– 5'2".
Just a hair shorter than Muggsy Bogues.
So – and, yes, that's an amazing feat. This is a bigger deal. And, of course, Piers Morgan, which his name should be Pierce. I'm going to say it right now.
Like, change your name to what it should be. Like, it shouldn't be Piers. Like multiple piers on a hey, did you go down and see the piers, the Santa Monica piers?
I went to two different Piers One imports to get a Papa San share.
Do you call them Piers One imports or Pier
One? Pier One. So Piers Morgan says I can beat this woman and has her on his dumb morning show.
Piers Morgan, who is a talk show host,
a dummy, just like a dumb fat guy in a suit. And he goes, look, I can have her on. I can show her, you know, that I can beat her. And he puts up a 22, which is horrible. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible. Okay, you can't beat her. You can't. Mm-hmm. She puts up not even a great round. She puts up like a 40, 41.
She smokes you. I would argue that she'd do a better job hosting your show.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's when you think you can step up and beat that woman. To me, that was a wonderful victory. That was very Star Wars-esque. All right, this hour is closing as we speak right now. You're going to want to stay with us because next hour, fantastic. Matt Weiner. Oh, Matt Weiner.
Come at us if you disagree us about Star Wars. Come at us, bro.
Matt Weiner on the other side of this break. Robert Lucetich, we're going to talk golf. We're going to talk President's Cup and why we think those types of tournaments are better for golf. It's Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.